In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
What makes traveling this world so wonderful is experiencing all our differences. You land in a new place with new foods, a new language, a different history and culture, and some quirks. For instance, newcomers and visitors to Canada will experience everything this country has to offer, from natural beauty to two distinct languages and unwavering love of hockey and curling. And
I lived through the bagged milk experience.
Yeah.
Who else here lived through bagged milk?
You were a bagged milk household.
Bagged milk familiar.
Oh, yes. We're getting a lot of nods and claps.
All right. Bagged milk, I am happy to report, could disappear.
Whatever you think of bagged milk, and if you've ever encountered it, you definitely think something. This is a piece of Canadian culture. Could bagged milk really vanish from Canadian stores? How did bagged milk end up in Canadian stores in the first place? Is it really at risk now? And if it is, without bagged milk, who are we? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Andy Takagi is a general assignment reporter with the Toronto Star who writes about everything, including bagged milk. Hello, Andy.
Hi.
For our listeners who live out west, or for the odd American who ends up tuning into the show and they don't know what we're talking about here, I want you to try to describe bagged milk to somebody who's never encountered it before. Give them a mental picture.
Sure. I mean, I actually didn't grow up with bagged milk. So when I first encountered it, it was kind of a shock. I was born in 98. So when I was a kid, they had these kind of like toys where they're like little plastic bags filled with Jell-O or something like that. And you get to like squeeze them back and forth. And it's just kind of like a stress ball or something like that.
Right.
I think they're really similar to bagged milk. It's just what it sounds like. It's a plastic bag, like a rectangular plastic bag filled with milk. It kind of just sloshes around in there. You get three packs, each like 1.33 liters each for a combined 4 liters in a pack. And yeah, you just pick them up at the grocery store. Usually you need a milk container, unless you like to live dangerously with your milk. You stick them into the milk container, snip off the corners, and then there you have it. There's your milk jug.
How did this phenomenon come to be? Is there an origin story for bagged milk?
There is. At least for Canada, there is. I know that one. In 1967, there's a milk company called DuPont that develops bags for milk, kind of veering away from milk jugs and glass jars. And it really took off when Canada converted to the metric system in 1971, because it was so easy to adapt. You can just change the size of the bag, whereas for a plastic jug or glass jars, you need to retool machines.
Right. And so this was just simply an easier way to produce the milk and get it to storefronts?
Yeah. And, you know, they got the jump on the conversion to liter. And it also took less energy in order to produce plastic bags. And that's kind of how it picked up.
How did it pick up with the general public? And I mean, we don't know back in like 1967, because neither of us are old enough to have been around. But what are people's reactions, I guess, to it when they first encounter it? And I swear I'm getting to the point we're going to talk about bagged milk maybe at a turning point here. But like, it's just fascinating to think of how this phenomenon came to be commonplace in this little part of the world.
Yeah, I actually talked to Marianne White, who's a professor emerita of chemistry at Dalhousie University. And she was kind of describing to me you know, she grew up in Ontario, kind of saw the change from glass jars and plastic jugs to bagged milk. And she was saying that it was jarring at first. It's an unexpected form for your milk to appear in. But over time, I think a lot of people got used to it. It's kind of convenient in terms of bulk buying your milk and in terms of storage. It's less bulky. And, you know, especially if you're going through lots of milk in your household, it makes it easier to kind of stock up on milk. And there's also kind of an angle of it's more accessible to some people. You know, if you're a child or if you're someone with a physical disability, you have trouble carrying or lifting a big jug of milk, then it's a lot easier to just carry a liter, 1.33 liters, and a lot easier to pour that way. So that's another kind of angle for the accessibility of bagged milk, I guess.
I can tell you as the parent of a six-year-old, bagged milk is not always the easiest to pour and control the volume of.
No, definitely not.
How unique is this? I said in this little corner of the world, is it just this little corner of the world? Where else in Canada or around the globe is this practiced, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, oddly enough, there are parts of Canada that don't use bagged milk. It's more of like an Eastern Canada phenomenon in Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic provinces. It was just never really picked up by manufacturers in the Western side of Canada. But, you know, internationally, milked bag is also a thing. Countries like India, Israel, some South American countries have bagged milk. Germany has a type of bagged milk where it can hold itself up. It kind of has like a hard plastic outside that allows it to stand on its own. Though I have heard through some readers reaching out that they're notoriously leaky.
Okay.
So maybe not, you know, maybe we need to innovate that technology a little bit more before it gets here.
You wrote about bagged milk in the Star. Why did you do that now? What's going on?
Sure. So the entire thing was kind of prompted by a tweet made by food professor on Twitter. He's Dr. Sylvain Charbois, also at Dalhousie. And he was just kind of saying, you know, don't be surprised if you stop seeing bagged milk at the stores. There's kind of been this general decline in per capita consumption of milk in Canada. Milk alternatives are becoming more popular. People are becoming more conscious of kind of the environmental impact of dairy as well. So all of those things combined, you know, there's this kind of worry that we're turning away from dairy and that could mean the end of bagged milk.
Do we have a sense at all of dairy consumption in Canada and how it's fallen or not fallen?
Not really. There's no kind of Statistics Canada database on how much milk we're going through. We know kind of how profitable the industry is and those kinds of figures, but we don't really know, you know, the specifics of, you know, quarterly dairy consumption by type of milk container in the country, right?
Bagged per person.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't get that nitty-gritty, unfortunately.
When you started looking into it, though, and talking to, as you mentioned, you know, experts in dairy, what do they say about potential changes to the format or even just the big question, the future of milk?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the sense that generally milk is on the decline, right? Like I mentioned, we have so many alternatives now and they're becoming cheaper and cheaper. If you're, you know, just walking through the grocery store, you can notice that there's almond, there's oat, there's like every single nut variety has a milk variety as well. So there's more competition for the dairy industry. But there's a lot of power in Ontario's dairy industry as well, right? You know, you see a lot of milk ads
right
on YouTube, on TV, and there's kind of still a big push for people to consume milk. And I don't think that's going to be going away anytime soon.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
give us a sense, and we don't have to get deep into it at all because I know it's a really complex question, but it does factor into people's consumption choices of the environmental concerns around cow milk particularly.
Yeah, I think generally cows are some of the more kind of environmentally harmful animals that we consume either through dairy or through meat. They have a high greenhouse gas emission. So, you know, I think a lot of that comes from the gases that the cows themselves emit. And also in terms of the amount of land you need to keep up, you know, a dairy farm or a cow farm. So in terms of that, like there is a big environmental impact. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of people are turning away from beef, besides the fact that it's becoming more expensive, is that it is one of the more kind of environmentally unfriendly sources of meat that you can buy at the grocery store.
In terms of bagged milk as a format, I guess, is there concern that it will go away when you talk to the experts? You know, milk is one thing, but this particular way of delivering it.
You know, I talked to Mike von Massa, who's a professor at Guelph University, and he was telling me that even if there is a decline in milk consumption, bagged milk is probably here to stay, at least for the foreseeable future, until there's some sort of innovation in the technology to create, you know, plastic jugs or to create a better way for recycling and reusing glass jugs. You know, those methods are still kind of expensive and kind of more intensive in terms of labor to create than bags of milk.
Here's where we get to the part that fascinates me about this, because for such an innocuous thing, I mean, it's different for sure if you're from another part of the world or Canada, but bagged milk sparks strong emotions in people for some reason. When you wrote this story, what kind of reactions did you get?
I got an email from someone who is 68 years old. She was saying that, you know, she's a lifelong milk lover, goes through 2 liters a day, which I don't even know if
that's, I don't think that's healthy.
Healthy or humanly possible. But it was very impressive. But she was saying that, you know, if bagged milk goes away, I don't know how I'm going to get my milk intake and how to keep it up. Like, this is the best way for me to get my daily fix of 2 liters of milk. And I thought, you know, that's so fascinating to me as a person who actually doesn't really consume that much milk.
What about some of the reactions, not to your piece, but to bagged milk itself by newcomers to the region, which you've kind of detailed, including some of my favorite are the athletes that come up here, because obviously lots of athletes drink lots of milk and it's very different to an athlete from the American South or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think people love to joke about it. I think it's kind of like a small point of pride for people from Eastern Canada that, yeah, you know, we're different, we're weird, we're quirky, we have bagged milk. And when you talk to people who are visiting, you know, I have lots of friends outside of Ontario and they always ask me, you know, when I first told them that I was coming to Toronto, they're like, oh, are you going to drink your milk out of your bag? Like, how does that even work? I think it is a point of fascination for people outside of Eastern Canada and, you know, maybe a point of pride for people within it.
What did you think when you got here and encountered bagged milk? You mentioned you didn't grow up here.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I knew about it. It was weird for sure. Like, I don't drink that much milk. I had a roommate who did, and it just, you want to play with it a little bit at first. You know, you just kind of hold it in your hands and it's like holding an infant or something. You're like, this is so strange. This shouldn't exist. But, you know, after a while, I feel like that charm kind of wears off and you're just like, oh, this is normal. You see it in the grocery store every day. And I don't know, it loses its novelty pretty quickly, I think.
When I bought a milk carton, like a jug to hold the bag in, as somebody, I grew up with bagged milk. I grew up in Quebec and Ontario, so I've always had it. And I never knew this, but sometimes when you buy those jugs, they come with a little removable thing that is actually like almost like a razor that you're supposed to use to like slit the top of the milk bag. It blew my mind that in the grocery store, they were selling these like plastic jugs for $2.99. And then you get them home and this is the jug my kid's going to be using to pour this stuff. And there's this little thing that slides out and it's like a shiv.
I mean, I just saw a TikTok the other day of this guy, and instead of just cutting the corner, he decided to cut the entire top of the milk bag. And I thought that was so strange. I already don't like the fact for bagged milk that it's kind of exposed to the air the entire time, that it's in your fridge.
Right.
But I mean, this is another thing that I forgot to mention, but bagged milk is also supposedly kind of more secure. There's less of a risk of it being punctured weirdly or kind of being exposed in transportation. And it's easier to spot if something has gone wrong versus if you maybe have like a leaky carton, you might not notice it until it gets to the consumer and they realize, oh, I have a bunch of spoiled milk.
Right. If you have the cardboard cartons, you don't notice it till you get home and you put it in your fridge and then later on there's a puddle. Whereas if you pick up a bag of bagged milk and it's been punctured, you'll know immediately because it'll be pouring like a faucet. So, you know, it looks weird, but the actual engineering design of it is structurally sound.
It is. And, you know, it's like a built-in early warning system where if there's a hole in it, you will know. It will make sure that you know.
Can anybody figure out a way, and this goes back to me as a child or my child now, to get kids to actually replace the bag when they finish one and I go to get milk for my coffee and there's an empty bag in the holder in the fridge?
I will say I grew up with milk cartons and I did the exact same thing. I just leave an empty milk carton in the fridge. So I don't think changing the form that milk comes in will fix that problem.
I am, for one, glad that we're not changing the form because this is a fun conversation to have. And because, like, you're right, it is Canada and maybe Ontario and especially Toronto are often known for being pretty boring. And this is maybe not the biggest thing, but it is a unique thing. It's part of our identity.
Exactly. You know, we have in Toronto, we get our bagged milk, we have our raccoons, we have less than desirable transit, and that's our point of pride, you know?
You had to struggle to even come up with a third thing, Andy.
Just a little bit, but I got there.
Thank you so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun and a pleasant change of pace from the litany of bad news. I imagine it was for you two reporting it.
Definitely a great change of pace. And thank you so much for having me.
Andy Takagi, General Assignment Reporter for the Toronto Star. That was the big story. For more, including not many episodes exactly like this, but some, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can, of course, offer us your feedback. We're doing another feedback episode soon. We'd love some opinions on bagged milk, if you have them to share. You can get in touch with us by emailing hello@thebigstorypodcast.ca or by calling 416-935-5935 and leaving a voicemail. Joe Fish is the lead producer of The Big Story. Robin Simon is also a producer on this show. Stephanie Phillips is our showrunner. Sound design this week was done by Robin Edgar, Mark Angley, and Ryan Clark. Mary Jubrin is our digital editor. Diana Kay is our manager of business development. I am your executive producer and host, Jordan Heath Rawlings. Together, we're the Frequency Podcast Network, a division of Rogers. And from all of us, as always, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll hit you within this economy tomorrow, and The Big Story will be back on Monday.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.